Thin strands of cirrus clouds crept across the sky. The first mate, a young bearded Scot, stood at the helm, guiding the ship through the long swells. He nodded casually as the captain approached.
"Trim the main?" asked the captain.
"Aye, and the mizzen. She slacked way off."
"Not for long. There's weather."
"How big?"
"Can't tell. Not with this damn radio silence. This war goes on much longer, we'll forget how to use the bloody radio. But big, I'd venture. The glass has taken quite a plunge."
The mate looked at his watch.
"How much farther we got to go?"
50-60 mile.
"That's to the Narrows. We get there, we'll have a look. Maybe try for Hamilton. Maybe put into St. George's."
"Nay, worry," said the mate, smiling and patting the wheel. "She can ride her out."
The captain spat on the deck.
"This old wreck, only fitting thing about her's her name. She's big and clumsy as the other Goliath."
He looked at the sky.
"Well, at least we're across the bloody stream."
By 1 o'clock in the afternoon, thick, gray, alto stratus clouds covered the sky. The wind had risen to 30 knots, and it whipped whitecaps across the surface of the ocean and churned up heavy seas that broke over Goliath's bow, sending shudders the length of the wooden hull. There had been 2 short, blinding rain squalls, and another black mass of clouds was moving in from the southeast. The captain, dressed now in oilskins, stood next to the mate as he strained to steer a steady course. The boatswain's mate, a small wiry man, shirtless and sopping wet, hurried aft and stood before the captain.
"They secure?" said the captain.
"Aye," said the boatswain's mate. "But knowing what they're worth, why, they pack them things in cigar boxes I'll never know. Mucking about with them is like dancing on eggs."
"Any breakage?"
"Ain't seen any. They're bagged about with sacks of flour."
The first fat drops of rain struck the captain in the face.
"Keep her on 120, he said to the mate. "I'm gonna shorten down some more. If I'm right, this bitch ain't begun to blow."
Suddenly the wind shifted again, backing around to the southeast. It blew harder, howling through the rigging, driving a stinging rain.
"Gimme 020, the captain yelled above the shriek of the gale.
"We could lay off,"
the mate called back. Goliath's bow slammed into a wave. Somewhere forward, a piece of wood snapped free and flew aft, rattling between the stays. The captain leaned closer to the mate and shouted,
"Nobody lays off Bermuda in weather like this. There are places them reefs come out 12 miles.
Goliath struggled northeast for another hour, yawing before the following wind. With each thudding sea, the hull groaned and creaked. At 3 o'clock, the wind let up a little, and the rain, which had been slashing almost horizontally, fell more vertically. The dead gray sky began to brighten. The captain changed course again, heading southeast for half an hour to try to clear the southern coast to the Narrows, the only safe channel into the shelter of the Bermuda Archipelago.
"We may beat this bugger yet," he shouted to the mate, who smiled and licked salt spray off his lips.
An hour later, the storm exploded out of the northeast. The wind roared down on the ship, ripping the tops off the waves and creating black mountains that towered over the masts. Only 2 sails were still flying. The forestay sail went first, tearing off its stays and leaving shreds that whistled in the blow. A huge wave caught the bow and flung the ship skyward. At the crest of the wave, the captain spied a lighthouse. Not lighted, for the wartime blackout was in effect, but conspicuous as a thin white stripe against the blackening sky. He turned to yell something to the mate as the ship slid off the crest into the trough between waves. A wall of water struck, surged across the deck, and battered the captain to his knees. He thrashed frantically,